The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
From a real front line to another very different type of battle, gender wars in the boardroom. It looked like there was some good news on that front this week with the publication of a new report from the Balance for Better Business Review Group showing women now make up about 36% of executives at board level. But is it good news or is it just mediocre? Well, drilling down into the detail for us now is Professor Christine Cross, Dean of the Business School at Edinburgh Napier University, is joining us on the line. Christine, there was definitely positive signals in this, but you've been kind of looking further down into the data, particularly when it comes to the percentage of women who are chairpersons in the boardroom, leading the decision making and being the front facing voices of this.
That's right. Good morning. I mean, the figures are really very positive when we think about the fact that 36% of executives at board level are women now in the top 20 publicly listed companies in Ireland. But when we look at the data more closely, what we see is that in those 20 publicly listed companies, there's actually only one female chairperson. And that's not that uncommon, actually. So in the UK, if we look at the situation there, only one in every 25 of the CEOs in Britain's largely publicly quoted companies are women, which means that 96% of the CEOs are men. And one of the things that always strikes me is that apparently there are more men called John who are CEOs in these companies in the UK than there are women. So, you know, while the headline figure looks really good, we need to look more closely at where the power balance lies within these large publicly quoted companies. And in the Irish situation, with only one female chair, I think we can safely say we have a long way to go yet.
And in terms of that long way to go, how do you think we get there faster? Like some countries like Norway has gone for this 40% in terms of like setting a quota. Here in Ireland with Balance for Better, they're trying this approach of, you know, the nudges and voluntary targets. Have you landed out on either side of the debate yet as to what is going to actually bring change about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really interesting question, and it's one that comes up a lot when we talk about how do we increase the number of women in these most senior positions in the biggest organisations. And the UK have been really positive in terms of the fact that they used what you called a nudge. So they set informal targets, which is roughly what we've done here in Ireland. And that has worked really well. But for me, the issue is in the difference between non-executive directors and executive directors. So what we need to do, rather than perhaps set quotas, is we need to think about how do we increase the number of female executive directors. So they're the directors who have the most power in the organisation because they're the ones involved in the day-to-day operation of the organisation. So in the Balance for Better Business report, what we can see is that there are actually only 13% of female executive directors. The majority of the positions are held by female non-executive directors. So for me, what we need to do now is we need to think more closely about the fact that we need to emphasize ensuring that there is a succession pipeline within the organization.
So on the pipeline, right? So we need more women to go for advertised positions. But there's often just a language problem and a perception problem of how a male will read that advert for that executive role versus how a female might consume and act on it.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting point. There's been lots of research done on this that talks about the need to gender proof the language that we use when we're trying to appoint people into senior roles, into all roles actually, but in particular into senior roles. So there are all of these masculine words that are associated with job adverts or recruitment campaigns that might more closely match what a man is looking for. So they would be words like competitive and expert and strong. And then job adverts that are seen to contain more feminine words are ones that say things like support and committed and collaborate. So that's one of the things that the research shows, is that we need to make sure that we're not using gendered language, because the research also shows that women are less inclined to apply for a particular position if they don't meet all of the criteria that are identified in the job requirements, whereas a man will actually apply for a job if he even has 30% of the requirements. So there are a lot of issues there around the recruitment and the selection of people into particularly executive director roles in organisations.
And just finally, Christine Cross, do you think we have to do a better job at amplifying the why, that we need more diversity in boardrooms and in our teams, because it ultimately does help the bottom line? Like, we've seen figures of, like, you could add 12 trillion to global growth by 2025 if there was better diversity at the top levels.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely true. You know, the research all shows that companies with women on their boards outperform those with less gender diversity. They outperform them in terms of all of the key metrics, like the share price and, you know, the return on equity and the shareholder value. So I think what we need to do is we need to continue to ensure that that message gets across, and we need to appoint more female chairpersons, because when there are more female chairpersons, there are more females on executive and non-executive roles.
Do you think there's merit, Christine, in the idea of this sunset clause for governments to look at, is go copy the Norway model, try the 40%, and if you do get the threshold up, then you can collapse it when you do have a parity and equality between men and women?
Yeah, I think the purpose of the quotas was to build a pipeline internally, so that when women were promoted to the most senior roles, that then there would be more women who would follow into the middle management roles after them. In the Norway experiment, that doesn't seem to have worked as well as they would like to have. Whereas if we look at the UK experiment, where they didn't use a quota, they just used targets, they seem to have created more of a pipeline. And for me, the answer to the question is very much around creating that succession talent pipeline, not appointing jobs based on the old boys network, which is the way things were always done in the past. What we need to do is we need to understand that, you know, it's not that closed network where appointments are made. It needs to think more broadly about where the talent lies in the organisation.
Thank you for that, Professor Christine Cross, Dean of the Business School at Edinburgh Napier University. Thank you for joining us.